Well, give the frog a loan.
His father's a Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
He after frog? We're rolling there, Patty Whack.
I think we got to do a nose blow.
Oh. Yeah, let's do that right now. Ready? One.
Cue the talent.
Two, three.
Oh, God. Your mic's
I'm going to wait until we start the show.
I'm leaving all of this in.
Okay, Pat, wait until we start the show, right?
Hey, yes.
Yeah, if I was Pat, I would have waited.
I got to text him. We're rolling.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1,262, March 8, 2024. 70 degrees on this day in 2016, and 8 below on this day in 1877.
Hail the Flashlight King!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic. With Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Height in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the Keeper of Common Sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Yes, I watched the State of the Union. I felt I owed it to myself.
Same.
You did?
I did.
And so did
Height. Three of us did.
Kenny Reavers did not. Reavers, you're not going to get away with 5 minutes.
That's about all I could do.
Well, okay. I have four observations.
Okay. Number one.
I wasn't ready to go.
He's going
to
start it out with number one.
I wasn't going to go to number one.
What about, you forgot about ice outs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't forget about ice outs.
Yeah. My, I had great affection for ice out dates. I'm afraid climate change has ruined them now.
Well, Cedar Lake went out over in Wisconsin.
I think White Bear went out a couple days ago. Minnetonka's probably out. So, you know, I loved doing them. I thought
half of Pelican Lake is out. Christina's out.
I thought they were important and something needed to understand nature. And
I'll be driving by Cannon Lake later today. I'll give you a report.
Right. I have four observations.
Let's go.
Now number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
The president got through it just fine. There were no snafus that were worth mentioning.
Dr. Nick had him up and running like a top.
Yeah.
Like a champ.
I don't know what they gave him, but he was he was all right.
But we did do the old standing ovation every 15 seconds.
Well, I told you that would be part of it. That's, but then as you look back over them, they've done that traditionally. But he, in particular, was able to take advantage of that. Number two, I thought he yelled the speech. There was no conversational tone in his voice. He pretty much, to me, yelled throughout the speech.
Well, sometimes older people, when they have hearing issues, that's what they do. Because they think nobody else can hear as good as he can.
Well, what I thought about it was that, and this would have been with complete justification, he probably thinks, you know, most of the gaffes I've made are when I speak softly and get going.
Yeah.
And if I yell it out, I have a better opportunity to articulate and get my point across.
So do your point is that he may have been coached. He was coached to do this. Or do it by instinct.
I wouldn't put that past him.
And part of it, don't you think, they wanted to make him seem more energetic?
Absolutely.
So to do that, he had to be loud and vociferous.
So I've done two observations. One, he got through it just fine. Two, to me, he did so by yelling. He was very loud.
Okay.
Third observation, it occurred to me, and it should have occurred to me years ago, maybe it did subconsciously, but the State of the Union is basically the night when the third rail pretends they acknowledge the rest of us.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
They put on their fancy, they go in and take pictures of each other, and they pretend they're aware of what's going on in America.
Explain the white coats and all the kisses that he gave. He gave out so many kisses last night. And the white coats were female power empowerment.
That had something to do with
International Women's
abortion.
Day. Oh, is that it?
Yeah. And the kisses, well, A, he's a kisser.
Yeah.
And B, I think part of the plan for him last night was to be the last guy out of the room.
He lingered.
Yeah.
The room cleared out. My wife pointed that out.
And I think that was, again, designed to show his stamina.
Whoa, he's stamina.
Yeah. So what have I got? Three observations.
Or he forgot where he was supposed to go.
No, no. So I had three observations. He got through it. He yelled. It's the night when the third rail demonstrates they're pretending that they're aware of us. Mm-hmm. But the fourth and most important one is I am sick and tired of the boilerplate that you hear no matter who's president. You hear it, I've heard it for 40 years, this utter BS about taxes and people paying their fair share. A, the people paying taxes are the people who make money. And B, Biden in particular, you've been a terribly mediocre public figure for 45 years. There's no doubt in my mind that in the course of your 45 years, you've taken part in tax law creation. You people write the tax laws.
He's been doing it for 40 years.
You write the tax laws, and then every State of the Union address, the president wants to say that taxes are not strident enough against the rich. You wrote them. I didn't write them. You didn't write them. Elon Musk didn't write them. You guys wrote, 403 people in this country are responsible for writing the tax laws.
I hate to tell you this. You sound like Trump when he was accused of not paying taxes. Yeah.
Well, whatever.
That was exactly his reply.
But it's this boilerplate BS class warfare crap.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
That he engages in, and it's in every State of the Union. It's just part of the template of the State of the Union speech. Throw in the class warfare BS. So those are my four observations. To review, he got through it just fine.
Yeah.
He yelled. It's the night when the third rail deigns to pretend that they're aware of us. And four, we were not disappointed in the dragging out of the tax BS that they write. Those are my four. John, what do you think?
I agree with you on a couple. I think the important thing for him to do was to appear fine.
He did.
I think that was the part he had to do. And the yelling thing kind of, I don't know, I think it's somewhat disingenuous. I notice on the right they're saying, well, he just seemed really angry and was yelling when they've accused him for the last 6 months of being too soft and not making any points.
Well, I'm not equating the yelling to anger. I do think other people have done that. I'm equating the yelling to, I think that was his preferred delivery method for purposes
just
of not screwing up.
Like you in a 6 o'clock meeting.
Seem energetic.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he just yells.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up in one of your 4 points the fact that whenever this started, and I think it started under the Trump regime, this whole heckling during this thing, why have we dissolved to this point? It's embarrassing.
It's untoward.
I thought it was kind of a parliamentary British.
Yes, it's untoward. I thought Marjorie Taylor Greene looked like a pig.
She's a national embarrassment.
Sitting there with her bleeping hat on. I thought she was a pig. George Soros. What's that fraud that got kicked out?
Santos.
George Santos? He was there, sitting with Mac Getz, another beauty. So it was just the typical, let's acknowledge that we think there's a country there paying attention to
us. I'm also sick of January 6th. Yeah. Let's get over that. And the threat of January 6th again,
Well, I got news for you. It's going to be a pretty big issue. Yeah.
Wait till next January 6th if he loses.
And I understand Trump had plans to live play-by-play the thing.
But did he?
Truth Social went out.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
I'm surprised there's no conspiracy theories today about that.
And unless I missed it, I looked this morning, and I didn't see anything.
His whatever happened, the web went down, or however that stuff works. He couldn't text.
Did he try restarting it?
I don't know. Oh. He just unplugged it and plugged it back in.
Whoever was his Chris Reavers just didn't have the equipment set up right. Is that what
messed it
is?
All exactly.
Up? Sorry, Chris.
Oh, it's all good.
One of the correspondents, I believe Jordy. Well, Kelsey has a note, too. You better get the rim shot ready.
I got it.
I thought this was on
Kelsey. Oh, I like when you go like this.
I think this is unkind of Kelsey. He notes that there from the San Francisco area, a Tesla Cybertruck got stuck in the sand. And Kelsey believes, rumor has it, that he was on his way to a boat show at Gull Lake.
Ooh,
boom, boom, boom. See, I got stuck in there.
But it was the way you got stuck. You know, it's the, I've got this. I'm going to go around the sign.
The way I got stuck was stupidity.
Regarding your fourth point of Biden bitching about taxes and acting like he's not part of the side that doesn't pay, his net worth, as far as I can tell here, about $10
million.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well, no, I don't care what anybody's worth. I'm for everybody being worth as much as possible.
What I'm trying to say is he's probably on the side that he's criticizing.
Absolutely.
And he's acting like he's not.
But you guys wrote, every State of the Union, I end up yelling at the TV because that comes up. You wrote the tax laws. Why do you think?
He did spend a little more time on the corporate end of it, though, last night, tax, rather than the rich.
Who
rich
do you guys go to? Mrs. Miller?
Jeez. Linda Keller.
Linda Keller. Well,
KellerTaxService.com.
I hear nothing but good things about her. Have you been to her office?
Kenny has. I have not.
Is it lined with books that she has to go through because of these morons expanding the tax codes to about 50 volumes?
Yes, it is. Why are you yelling at
because
me?
Because that's the way to get my point across. Come on, look.
Okay, President. I mean, Mayor.
No,
look,
you still
not
kind
a joke.
Of sound like
not
you don't
a
know
joke.
Where you're at. Sorry.
Jesus.
Bert writes, "Hey, Mr. Basketball, did you happen to see the block shot at the end of the game tonight by Anthony Edwards? Holy crap, the dude's half nuts, but he clearly likes to win. I not only saw it, I couldn't believe it." And if you haven't seen it, all you got to do is YouTube Anthony Edwards block.
It was an athletic feat.
He would have kept defying gravity had it not been for the rim there.
Exactly.
I think he would have gone up to the rafters.
His head hit the bottom of the backboard, then hit the rim, and then he landed on his side.
Right.
He was 10 feet off the ground.
I don't know how many ribs I would have broken.
And against all odds, the guy has made me tune in when he's playing. Yep. He's their Wayne Gretzky. Well, you never know what he'll do.
But you know what he hasn't done? The double pump layup.
No, yeah.
I could teach him. It's going to cost him, though.
This is very interesting. We took the white privilege test.
I was going to bring this up. Thank you, Scott. Hey, gang, it's been pointed out by a few outlets that many, many sections of his speech last night was the exact same speech as last year, virtually word for word. That's been pointed out a couple of times. But I'm not going to go look at both of them, so I don't know if that...
Neither am I.
Got it.
We took a white privilege test that I passed with flying colors. I have zero white privilege. some of you others. But my buddy Noah, he works for Scooney. And he took the test. And he writes, or he was... He says, "Hail the Flashlight King."
Hey,
I was listening to Wednesday's podcast and realized I had seen and heard the white privilege test before. I was given that same test in my American literature class in high school. It was one of the craziest experiences of my life. My white teacher handed out these tests to all the white kids in our class and singled out all the kids of any other races by not giving them one. Obviously, they would not have had any privilege. When a few of my buddies and I decided that we were not going to be participating in this activity, we were shamed, belittled, and asked to leave the classroom, basically told that we were the reason that racism was still a problem. This stuff is being taught in school like it's part of the curriculum, and if you don't agree with it, they remove you from class because they have an agenda to push. Fast forward to Wednesday, talking about the show with a few guys at the shop. Two of our coworkers of Mexican descent asked what we were talking about. We ran through the test with them and found out that our Mexican coworkers have more white privilege than the rest of us. Go figure. Always pushing back, Noah.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I should read this, too, and then I'll get back to Kamala Harris. Tim writes, welders from West Central. We're welders out in West Central, Minnesota. Hello, GL. My coworker and I listen to your podcast almost every day, and we enjoy hearing some of the Minnesota news and the conversations that it creates. It amazes me on how careful Muslims are at following the five pillars of their faith and how they never misuse the name of their prophet Muhammad or their God Allah. Yet I hear Christians, including you, Amir, allowing the name that is above all names, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to be used as a cuss word on the show and in Wednesday's podcast saying Jesus H. Christ. As a fellow believer and a sinner bought at the price of Jesus' blood, I beg all of you to use your logic and honor the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. Thanks, Tim Erickson. Tim, I will try not to do that again, but I did say, and I meant it, and I could have done it without taking the Lord's name. I was praying.
Mm-hmm.
I think the context in that particular situation where some hack employee of the VA wanted to make sure we never saw the picture again of the sailor kissing the nurse on VJ Day in 1945.
Right.
So, yes, I called on my higher power there, and I will not do that again.
What about the F word? Can I use that?
No.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. What about cripe sake?
Oh, cripe sake.
Judas Priest.
That was my old man. Yeah.
Grandma.
When he said that, something was wrong.
I mean,
Jordy alerted me to a New York State Senator named Dan Steck. I think it's interesting. He was born to a Vietnam War veteran who then became a New York State Forest Ranger.
I thought they were assemblymen in.
Well, he was.
Oh, that must be the House.
In any event, he assumed office January 1, 2021. He's a Republican from the 45th District. He's married, he's got a kid, and apparently his education is quite extensive. He has a Bachelor of Science degree in Chemical Engineering from Clarkson University in Potsdam, New York. In case you didn't know, the state of New York has mandated all electric school buses by the year 2027. That's not that far away.
Okay.
All electric school buses by 2027. And here's what a fellow, thank God he might be a GLer. Here's what a state senator named Dan Steck, S-T-E-C, here's what he had to say about that.
I believe I'm the only legislator that has an engineering degree, and I know I'm the only legislator that has ever operated a nuclear reactor. So I know a little bit about power generation and distribution. From an engineer that's done a little bit of basic math and economics for you today, these are absolutely unachievable, unsustainable, and reckless mandates. And if nothing else, you phase this in. You start it where it might make sense. Urban areas in New York City where it's not 10 degrees routinely, where they want this, and where their bus routes are only 2 or 3 miles. That's the place to start. And then when that works, then maybe technology's catching up, maybe industry's catching up, and our production capacity is catching up, and then you're not breaking the bank. Listen to what I said, go back and replay it, and then start asking my majority colleagues in the governor's office what the plan is and how, after all this, don't you have any solid numbers for the public and the taxpayer and the kids and the parents that have to worry about their kids on these buses. I believe I'm the only.
That's just fantastic. Now compare that to what this woman said.
Imagine a future, the freight trucks that deliver bread and milk to our grocery store shelves and the buses that take children to school and parents to work. Imagine all the heavy-duty vehicles that keep our supply lines strong and allow our economy to grow. Imagine that they produced zero emissions. Well, you all imagined it. That's why we're here today.
Okay, sure.
Because
her
we
up.
Have the ability it. To see
you
what
you idiot. By the way, they're heavy vehicles, and it's being reported in a number of outlets that one of the greatest particulates created by transportation in general are bits of tire. We're all shedding tires all the time.
Okay.
But electric vehicles shed more of that because of their weight. They're very hard on tires.
Like they're running at Daytona, basically?
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. The point is, here's a mandate in New York for no reason whatsoever to make all school buses electric. And here is a state senator in New York who understands some of the technology of this and is saying, you're wrong to go about it this way. This is foolish. We're not ready. And I will take him and his knowledge over that complete idiot who's the vice president. Complete idiot.
Imagine a future.
No!
Oh. Did you imagine, though?
I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. I want to tell you that you want to go electric bike, you're probably not shedding much tire. The world can handle that.
Sure.
The earth can handle that. Get to EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake, right on 97 west of 35E, where Tim has a great sale underway now, getting ready for spring at EcoFun Motorsports. E-bikes 20 to 40% off. Vespa scooters are on sale. Yamahas are on sale. Kawasaki's on sale. Preseason youth ATVs are on sale. I went up the day after Christmas, and I picked mine out. Not that I'm a youth, but I got some youths who might be able to use it. And Moto Guzzi motorcycles on sale. It is a fun showroom if you haven't been there. I've never seen a greater collection of electric bicycles, for example. It's amazing. And they've got a wonderful big parking lot in the great wide open under fresh air, where take the bike you think you want outside, and they'll run it through with you, and you'll get the perfect fit, the perfect accessories, the perfect size. They'll make it easy. And right now it's all on sale. And it's these are the only sales I can mention right now.
See?
There might be more on the way. Mm-hmm. But thanks for coming back to us, Tim. And if you want outdoor recreation, EcoFun Motorsports is the place to go. It's in Forest Lake on Highway 67. I'm sorry. No. Highway 97. 97.
You're up there just on 67?
Just west of 35E. You can't miss it. And it's EcoFunMotorsports.com.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
Council members, we have the ultimate practical joke to play on your significant other, your buddy, your brother, your friend, whatever. Go to the store, the music store, buy a cheap harmonica, and then get some zip ties and zip tie that harmonica on the undercarriage of the person's vehicle.
Oh, sweet wow. Jesus.
Yeah. You got to make sure the mouthpiece part is facing forward and you get up to speed. And that thing starts singing, and it will drive them crazy.
You should have done this to Joe.
I know. I sent it to him. I was so excited that I sent it to Such right away, and then I'm going, oh, damn it, I should have sent it to Paul.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
What are we doing, Rook?
Yep.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
I've been telling you for this past week about Minnesota Masonic Charities and the decline of moral and ethical integrity. It's bad. We talk about it in Garage Logic all the time. So Minnesota Masonic Charities and the Masons of Minnesota, they're going to try to do something about that. March 30th, the Saturday before Easter, they're developing a new program called the Civility School. Program's going to be from 10 to noon at the Masonic Heritage Center in South Bloomington. It's a beautiful campus, and they're going to have lunch after because they love, like me, everything is based on food. Masonry has been described as a system of morality veiled in allegory illustrated by signs and symbols. Civility School is what they're promoting, is a system of civility veiled in allegory illustrated by YouTube videos and conversation. So it's very, very current. Believe it or not, as much as social media has become the source of many of society's challenges, it can also provide some powerful solutions to those challenges by meeting up with the young people. They're on social media everywhere. Civility School helps to demonstrate interesting young people that civility is cool. I'll tell you more about the Civility School coming up and how you GLers might lend your insights to the program. So stay tuned, or if you want to learn more, go to mnmasoniccharities.org. Let's do it.
What?
Hi.
You wanted the video clip.
Yeah, I was thinking of something.
Yeah.
We were saying that these speeches are boilerplate and they are similar. And it turns out that you have discovered audio.
Yes.
Of the 21.
So this is a mashup of the State of the Union address from President Biden in 2022, 2023, and last night.
All right.
And all of them. Now, keep in mind, there's a little bit of applause and mishmash, but they're all combined together here.
All right. So we know what year.
For too many decades, we imported projects and exported jobs. Now, thanks to what you've all done, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs. Now, instead of importing foreign products and exporting American jobs, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs. Build the economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down. To build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down. Building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. We're the only nation on earth that has always turned every crisis we faced into an opportunity. We're the only country that has emerged from every crisis we've ever entered stronger than we got into it. This year, COVID-19 no longer need control our lives. Today, COVID no longer controls our lives. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The only nation that can be defined by a single word, possibilities. Actually, I can define it in one word, and I mean this, possibilities. Possibilities. Wow. I'm a capitalist. Look, I'm a capitalist. I'm a capitalist. I'm a capitalist. Let's pass the PRO Act. Pass the PRO Act. Pass the PRO Act and extend the child tax credit. And let's restore the full child tax credit. Restore that child tax credit. If you travel 20 miles east of Columbus, Ohio, you'll see a field of dreams. Outside of Columbus, Ohio, on 1,000 acres, literally a field of dreams, our infrastructure is ranked 13th in the world. Used to be number one in the world in infrastructure. We've sunk to 13th in the world. Began to replace the poisonous lead pipes so every child, every American has clean water to drink at home and at school. We're also replacing poisonous lead pipes. Removing poisonous lead pipes so every child can drink clean water without risk of brain damage.
Well, we get the idea.
Wow.
We get the idea. It's
that's not even boilerplate. That's plagiarism.
No, they're plagiarizing himself. It's no big deal. That's typical of this. This is the night when they dream up a list of stuff that they think we'll be interested in, and then they just spew it.
Did anything he said last night not sit right with the far left members of his party? The reason I brought it up is the capitalist thing. That can't sit well with the likes of the Squad and the other far left members of Congress.
I didn't detect any booing or anything like that.
Well, he was greeted warmly by some of the far left at the end of the speech. So,
all right.
Well, I guess what you can boil it down to is he's just doing what every top 40 radio station does. He's just playing the hits.
Playing the hits.
Yeah.
Now, they made sure they change it for whatever, like immigration this year in Ukraine. You know, they had those things in between. The new songs are added.
Yeah, the new hits.
How much time did he spend on the climate?
Very little, actually.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have two stories that make me say to myself, wait a minute. You ready?
Number one.
Two left-wing Democrats have introduced a bill in the legislature to eliminate minimum sentences for gun crimes. Cedric Frazier, D. New Hope, and Zainab Mohammed, D. Minneapolis.
Okay.
And, I printed it out.
Ink ran out?
I didn't do the printing correctly. Mm. But
what's your source?
I can get to the point. It's Alpha News. Thank God they cover this stuff. The George Floyd Press doesn't cover it. That's one of the new names. I'll get to that in a moment.
Okay, the George Floyd Press. Yeah.
Illegal behavior with guns is coming up hard against equity issues. It's not equitable that so many black youth are arrested for gun crimes. That's just not fair. It's not equitable.
That's too damn right.
So we have laws that you should be responsible for an answer to when you're arrested for a gun crime.
Okay.
But now we have, because we've managed to completely screw up our legislature, we have two crackpots like this who say, well, let's not have minimum gun law sentences. But let's create some new laws, basically, for more, for honest people to keep following.
Okay.
Regarding guns.
Now I got it. Two left-wing Democrats have introduced legislation to eliminate mandatory minimum prison sentences for crimes in which firearms are brandished, displayed, used to threaten, or otherwise employed. Cedric Frazier and Zainab Mohammed introduced House File 4277. Under current law, anyone who commits certain crimes while brandishing or using a firearm is subject to a criminal charge that, if convicted, will result in their imprisonment for at least 3 years. Mm. We're not doing that.
Right. Why have the laws?
Because Mary won't do that. Any repeat offenders are subject to a mandatory minimum sentence of 5 years. Frazier and Mohammed would strip these mandatory minimum sentences out of state law. Furthermore, House File 4277 would establish a so-called task force on mandatory minimum sentences, because we need more government.
Right.
This task force would be created to collect and analyze data on the charging, convicting, sentencing of persons to mandatory minimum sentences, assess whether current laws and practices promote public safety and equity in sentencing, and make recommendations to the legislature. This is an equity BS movement here. In short, the task force would study mandatory minimum sentences and make determinations on whether those sentences are biased against particular groups. Under the proposed law, members of the task force would include multiple appointees from the governor, a member of a statewide civil rights organization, the Commissioner of Corrections, and others. Unfortunately, what you're going to find is a preponderance of young black males are going to be the ones arrested for the gun crimes. Right. Sorry. And they're saying, well, that's not equitable. So let's revisit our sentencing. In the meantime, let's make more laws for you legal people to jump through hoops.
Right. Why don't they make, can we just make black laws? If you're a black person, this is what you have to follow.
No, that's what we're headed for. I guess.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Throughout the 93rd session of the legislature, Representative Frazier has supported a variety of gun control bills. In 2023, the New Hope legislators supported legislation to establish a red flag law and universal background checks. Additionally, Representative Frazier signed on to co-sponsor legislation which would set new standards for how Minnesotans store their firearms. Again, these are all applying to legal people.
Yeah.
Under this proposed law, thousands of law-abiding gun owners in Minnesota could be found in violation of the law overnight if it were enacted. But these
people
are all
people who are currently storing their firearms properly,
right.
Law-abiding citizens who are already obeying the law, would all of a sudden be in violation of this law.
Currently, no other Democrats have sponsored the repeal of gun-related mandatory minimums other than the two authors. So that's a minor ray of hope, isn't it? Several members of the Minnesota House have expressed outrage that Democrats would simultaneously push to increase gun control on law-abiding Minnesotans while lightening sentences for gun-toting criminals, which is exactly what this is.
Right.
Representative Pam Altendorf, Republican Red Wing, lambasted House File 4277, ostensibly referring to supporters of the bill. Representative Altendorf said, "These people are radicals, Marxists who want to control the public, not reduce crime. If you truly care about eliminating gun violence, why in the hell do you want to reduce penalties for violent criminals who use a gun to commit a crime?" said Representative Elliot Engen, Republican of White Bear Township, who also called the file utter insanity. Now, it will not surprise me if that passes. It's an equity problem.
You could easily segue into social equity for those that want to start selling weed legally. Jeez. Do you have that?
You're right.
The legislation prioritizes. We're talking about now applicants that are taking out licenses to get into the marijuana business. Do you have it, Joe? I'd rather you read it.
I thought I had it. I'm sorry. I'm not putting my mitts on it.
You look for it, and I'll start. The legislation prioritizes applications for business license from people who are considered social equity applicants, which includes people who were convicted of possessing or selling cannabis, family members of someone convicted of possessing or selling cannabis, service-disabled veterans, current or former members of the National Guard, or any military veteran or current or former member of the National Guard who lost honorable status due to an offense involving the possession or sale of cannabis.
Yeah, I don't have a...
So residents of... for at least 5 years of a neighborhood that experienced disproportionately large amounts of cannabis enforcement, emerging farmers, and residents of at least 5 years of census tracts with high poverty rates. So basically what I got out of that, if you at one point were convicted of selling or possessing large amounts of cannabis, you go to the front of the line when it comes to doling out licenses for cannabis-related businesses in 2025.
This is who's...
the criminals move to the front of the line.
This is who's occupying the legislature.
You know, it's okay with me to get their records expunged. That's fine. Yeah. I have no problem with that. But not only do they get expunged, but hey, you want to open up a business, step right up.
Come on up here front here.
Jeez. Yeah, yeah.
The other story that made me say, whoa, wait a minute. There's a story, I believe this is Carol Levin. How educators can support Muslim students during Ramadan. All right. At Gideon Pond Elementary School in Burnsville, Principal Selma Hussein is mindful of building a community where all students and staff feel seen. All right. I know that the majority of Minnesotans want to do the right thing for our students and might not have access to that information of what it is they can do right away to ensure that Muslim students felt seen.
Huh?
I see him.
I see it right there. What do you mean?
That's Hussein said that. It's why Hussein went to social media to write her thoughts on how educators can best support students and staff during Ramadan. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Ramadan is a very special month. We believe that it will start either Monday or Tuesday. They don't even know when it starts. Oh, it depends on the moon. It really is a month of reflection, a month of charity, a month of prayer, a month of community and family. It is a time we Muslims really look inward and work on that relationship that we have with our Creator, God, Hussein said. She used the word God.
Wow.
Ramadan marks the ninth month of the Islamic calendar and includes abstaining from food and drink, including water, from dawn until sunset. I'd have a tough time with that.
I would too.
You think Lent's bad.
Right, that's a lot of fasting.
Fifth graders Azar Nundi and Salma Aziz are getting ready for Ramadan. We fast because of many, many reasons. We fast because of how the homeless, starving, sick people out there have nothing, and we should appreciate what God has given us, explained Aziz. Nundi said, after Maghrib, or sunset, we pray, and then most people break their fast with dates or water. I don't think they mean dates.
Like going out?
I think they mean fruit.
You don't think companionship. You think the dried...
That's right.
Dates. Well, give me your cartoon bubble of
they're
dates.
They're shriveled.
Shriveled. And where are they being consumed?
I don't know.
They're in a basket? I'm going to Middle East.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
They're a delicacy there. I can't stand them.
Mm-hmm. The part that made me say, wait a minute, is when Christmas rolls around, we have to go out of our way to make sure it's not mentioned. We have to make sure there are no Christmas trees. We have to make sure there is no gift exchanges. We have to make sure that there are no
programs.
Carols sung.
Programs.
Well.
Adjusted.
So why is it?
Thank you for calling Euphoria's Hanarama Kwansmas Hotline.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what's the deal? Well, the deal is...
What's the deal?
What's the deal?
With this.
Now, and I'm not going to accuse the teacher at Gideon Pond of this, the teacher named Selma Hussein. But whether she knows it or not, she's part of the mystery. And the mystery is the complete elimination of us. And I'm not accusing her of wishing for that to happen. She doesn't even know that's what's at the bottom of this. But what's at the bottom of this, what's at the bottom of the mystery, what's at the bottom of an open border, what's at the bottom of these preposterously proposed laws on gun crime and what have you, what's at the bottom of it is the people bringing this about, they don't like this country.
Right.
They got a better one in mind.
They
it'll be chaotic, and it'll be poor, and it'll be ragtag, and it'll be ugly, but that's what they want. They don't want you and your family
to celebrate Christmas.
No, they don't want it. When Christmas Easter rolls around, I'd like to know what they do at Gideon Pond Elementary School. I bet the word goes out, oh, God Almighty, don't say anything about Christmas. Don't say anything about Easter. We've already turned Halloween into a cluster bleep.
Right. So, they've ruined that. I mean, Halloween was just about kids and candy, right?
Not no anymore. Way,
that's Easter.
So there you have it. There's two stories that made me say, oh, wait a minute. You want to lighten sentencing for gun crimes if they're committed by black kids, because that's not equitable. Well, the other way to look at that, if equity is to be the founding principle of law, then white youth need to start committing more crimes because they're not caught up in gun crimes.
They got work to do.
They got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We are paying in Hennepin County to house migrants. Hundreds are staying at shelter sites. Having been sheltered in Minnesota for months, these migrants are largely families who are staying at Minneapolis area hotels. Now, the Star Tribune didn't do this, but Alpha News did. Alpha News traveled to multiple shelter sites and talked with migrants and hotel staff. Okay. At La Quinta Inn and Suites in Brooklyn Park, dozens of rooms have been rented out to migrants.
What did you do? I can't hear the La Quinta Inn thinking of the Christmas shoes with Patton Oswalt. With the Christian band, make no mistake, we will.
That's why the La Quinta Inn got both Rookie and I, because we every time that's mentioned, that's what we think.
At the La Quinta Inn and Suites in Brooklyn Park, dozens of rooms have been rented out to migrants for months. A manager confirmed that Hennepin County is paying for the migrants to stay there. According to the manager, the hotel has been renting out 40 to 50 rooms for the last 6 months, and Hennepin County pays for it. Mostly providing lodging, the Brooklyn Park La Quinta does not shelter single individuals. Further, migrant families are not the only people being sheltered there. Other families experiencing homelessness are also staying at the hotel. Okay. The manager at the hotel told Alpha News that everyone staying at the hotel is legal as far as he knows. Well, okay.
But he's been told not to ask.
Yeah. Oh, in fact, it says we are not supposed to ask.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. Because the county's paying for it.
Right. Right.
Well.
And it's multiple hotels across the city,
if you don't
including
think
in downtown Minneapolis. And this is all coming out of the Hennepin County taxpayers' pocket.
Holiday Inn in Bloomington is used as a shelter. We've got at First Avenue and Lake Street in Minneapolis, migrants are lining up looking for work. Okay, that's good.
The one thing Alpha got wrong here, and I don't know, maybe they're just throwing this in the face of the left. They're referring to them as migrants and not new Americans.
Right.
Like they should be.
They're new Americans. Because yeah, this
get
is
it
the
right,
new
Alpha.
America.
Right. Yeah, get
you
it right,
why?
Alpha.
Everything's based on oppressor versus oppressed. If you're white, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're an oppressor.
They've got a hotel downtown where they've thrown up blankets and shit over the windows. You can't even look in the window into the lobby from street level. So what kind of tawdry nonsense is going on?
I got you, Chris.
I'm just trying to keep you on track, Bob.
All right,
you
never
know
mind.
What? You we'll, got nothing no, but time here.
Stop trying here. Thanks, Chris. Hey. That's great.
Well, I wasn't doing anything verbal. I was giving him a nonverbal.
Well, he keeps going, hey.
Fine. You guys cold do whatever there, huh? you want. Do whatever
cold
you want.
Out there.
I don't care.
Let me look at something here. Maybe you wouldn't run into this problem in Sioux Falls.
I sure wouldn't.
I don't know. Because if you're not thinking about high taxes in Minnesota and how much you could be saving with a Sioux Falls location, you should start. The Minnesota companies that have moved or expanded to Sioux Falls, they notice the lower tax bills. They're not paying corporate or personal state income tax. Their expenses are lower in Sioux Falls. Those business leaders who moved started at this website, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. Sioux Falls Development is one word. You're going to find all the information you need to make a Sioux Falls decision. Not only will your business be up and running sooner, you're going to make greater profits. The National Tax Foundation's new index shows Minnesota at number 45, paying too many taxes.
Woo.
We all know it. South Dakota is at number 2. Well, okay. That's the one of the, well, it's the second best tax climate in the nation. If 2024 is the year you're deciding to move or start your business, you might want to look at Sioux Falls. I will miss you, but I wouldn't blame you. SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
Here we go. Time to do that spring cleaning, right? Yes. I want you to think about your air ducts, your carpet, and the whole house getting cleaned. You're going to save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush with these limited offers from our cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Of course, it's the rookie to tell you about Zero Res. Zero Res has been here from day one. And you know what? 17,000 raving customer reviews online, a 4.9 Google rating. See what the hype is all about. And your air ducts, you got to, they're like the lungs of your home. If they're dirty, your indoor air quality will suffer. So this month, get 3-room Zero Resified from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129. Take $75 off your air duct cleaning and 20% off all upholstery. What a deal. You owe it to yourself and to your family to breathe healthy, happy, and clean. Call Zero Res right now. Here's the number, 952-ZEROREZ, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the rookie special. Hey, spelled forward or backwards, it's spelled the same. Zero Res.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Sincere.
Just run better and last longer. That's all we're asking for. And thankfully, Seafoam Motor Treatment gives us that in bundles. It's the best way to both save money from costly repairs and ensure that we arrive on time to whatever the destination is without any stress or worry. And by the way, it doesn't add horsepower. If you want to do that, you have to get either better wheels or a pinstripe. A pinstripe always adds horsepower. But all of the common engine issues that plague so many of engines, they're all eliminated with occasional doses of Seafoam in the gas tank. All those costly repairs, all the gnashing of teeth and trouble, just occasional hits of Seafoam will solve that. It's so easy to use. Just give it a few shots every now and then when you fill up, and you'll reap the benefits of a happy, healthy engine. And you'll find this stuff everywhere. Seafoam, always in the fine automotive chemicals and stores across the country. A wonderful product in the world of bad gas, Seafoam.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news update brought to you by North American Banking Company. Update on a story we talked about earlier this week. Minneapolis voters will not weigh in this November on whether they want citizens to be able to change laws through popular vote. The city council this week voted unanimously to indefinitely postpone a ballot question aimed for this fall's presidential election that would have asked voters whether they want the right to make city ordinances by city petition and a popular vote. Sometimes called a popular referendum or ballot initiative. Acknowledging that other council members needed more time to gather feedback from constituents and offer amendments, proposal author council member Robin Wansley voluntarily withdrew it for this year, meaning voters will not be seeing it on the November 5th ballot. As state Wait, lawmakers.
Nobody's yeah. going to say anything about that.
I know.
You know what that means,
Joe. They'll have to work.
Well, no. At one point, they got together and decided, what the hell were we thinking?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the public to decide on anything.
Somebody got to Robin and said, hey.
We don't want the mayor to decide. We don't want the public to decide. We need to be in charge. Right. What were we thinking? Yeah.
As state lawmakers continue to work at the Capitol, Minnesotans weighing in on two issues that lawmakers might consider later this spring. All of this still part of that KSTP Survey USA poll we've been talking about all week. It shows a majority of Minnesotans support legalized sports betting, and they'd also be in favor of a constitutional amendment that guarantees the right to abortion. According to the poll, 56% of people support sports betting legalization, 22% of respondents oppose, 21% say, I don't know. Still unsure. And a year after state lawmakers codified the right to an abortion into state law, Minnesotans say they would support going a step further and approve a constitutional amendment if state lawmakers go down that path. Of poll respondents, 58% said they'd support the amendment on abortion rights. 25% said they would not.
I wonder if you could look at all the polls Minnesotans have ever taken and determine if Minnesota has more people than any other state who have no opinion on anything.
I'm not sure. Fireworks will be coming back to Minneapolis this year. Minneapolis Parks and Rec Board this morning announcing fireworks show and festival will resume on July 4th, 2024. The last Red, White, and Boom event took place in 2019. The event was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, and smaller events were held across the city in 2021 and 2022. Last year, MPRB hosted a laser light show at Boom Island instead of fireworks. This year's festivities will take place on the west side of the river with live music and food trucks at Waterworks and the Stone Arch Bridge parking lot. The event will begin at 6 p.m., the fireworks show scheduled at 10 p.m. Attendees should be aware of one wrinkle. The Stone Arch Bridge will be closed during Red, White, and Boom as part of an ongoing MnDOT repair project on the
bridge. Of course it will. Isn't that funny that MnDOT isn't in to play a part in that repair? No? Nobody?
Kenny, are you sending me a signal about something?
Well, War Road scored, but they're not counting it yet. I don't have the sound up. Is it offsides or something?
I think he was in the crease, the way I'm just reading it without... John, we're all paying really close.
I can tell as I look at the screen.
Oh, he was in the crease.
Yeah.
But I just think it's interesting that MnDOT is working on that bridge. I didn't know. Hmm. Anyway, you know, we probably should start... we should probably consider taking Fridays off, gentlemen. This has been the worst show we've ever done.
Not as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, my God.
We've done a lot worse than this.
I can name 10 off the bat.
Do yourself a favor and listen to this when you get out of the office.
I like this show.
This one's a piece of crap.
Well, speak for yourself, Man Mountain Dean.
Yeah. Yeah, cowboy.
There is audio, by the way, of former President Trump reacting to the State of the Union address. I don't know if that's... I didn't want to interject something, but I was
trying to talk hockey.
Why not?
Why don't you hang on a minute? I got the story coming.
There we go.
What was your favorite worst show?
What?
What was your favorite worst show?
Probably the one I spoke. Worst show. Oh, yeah. Too numerous to mention. In the Star Tribune today, they are reporting there was a huge ruckus involving Roosevelt High School students last night.
How about this?
Fighting among large numbers of young people erupted last night at Roosevelt High School, moved to one fast food restaurant and then another before many officers broke up the mayhem, according to police and the principal of the school. Three people were cut but not seriously injured by what Deputy Police Chief Joe Adams called a sharp object, and a Chick-fil-A restaurant was damaged extensively. Roseville police and officers from five other law enforcement agencies were needed to restore order. The fighting began at the high school, where an event was being held that welcomed attendees from beyond Roseville, according to the principal. Jen Wilson, the principal, said the fighting occurred in the parking lot outside the high school where a student-sponsored cultural event drew a large crowd of non-Roseville youth and young adults. At the conclusion of the event, the large crowd gathered in the parking lot and wouldn't leave the school grounds. And shortly before 8 o'clock last night, juveniles not associated with the event arrived and were the, quote, true agitators. The school resource officer noticed that a couple of the intruders were wearing masks, so he knew something was about to happen. He called for additional Roseville officers who were joined by neighboring law enforcement. A number of fights popped up outside the school, continued until the officers broke them up. Combatants then moved a little more than a mile away to the Chick-fil-A restaurant and resumed fighting. They estimated the gathering there swelled to about 200 people.
Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Crucial to this story is understanding what was the cultural event.
Yeah, it does not say.
Mm-hmm.
Question?
Well, that should be the main focus, shouldn't it?
The cultural event may have been the impetus for the kerfuffle.
Well, of course it was.
And we don't know what the cultural event was.
Did they ever make it to the Roseville Cub?
To see Joe?
Yes.
No, they actually ended up, after they broke it up at Chick-fil-A, they all moved to the
Harmar,
Raising
right?
Canes.
Oh,
Raising
Canes.
Yeah.
Oh, they like chicken.
Hitting all the chicken joints.
Because there was a video I saw, Johnny, at Harmar, too. There was another. So I don't know if that was included with this fight or if it was separate.
The story is meaningless.
Really?
Without knowing what the cultural event was.
And why would
the story is meaningless. You know, a guy changed his shirt yesterday in Bemidji.
Right.
How do they know where to meet?
No, I disagree.
I do too, actually.
Have 200 people fighting.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, more than that.
But how do they know where to go next?
They got a leader.
I mean, is this like bar runs?
Yeah. Haven't you ever seen West Side Story?
They want to live in America.
Meet us at the Raising Canes. Next, we're going to fight at the Raising Canes.
Yeah, and they dance.
And then we're
going to
move over to Perkins.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you make a good point, though, Johnny.
Yes, sir.
That movie, they wanted to come to America to be free, not to live the life that they were living. That proves your point, Joe.
Well, they were actually Puerto Rican, so they were...
Six in one, half a dozen in the other.
I actually think we're proving Kenny's point right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been the worst. Trust me. No, you're not here for half of it. That's why you don't understand it.
What? I'm not watching the hockey game. I'm trying to hold the things. I'm trying to get the center to hold.
He's the knuckle. He's holding us together.
I'm angry.
I just wash my hands of all this.
Yeah, but I want to know what the cultural event was.
Are you angry about today?
What was the cultural event? A call to Roseville High School might have squared that away. Could anyone do that? Could anyone? No, you're all worthless.
I don't think that's going to be in the news. What cultural event it was?
That's why you have to ask.
It's so demanding.
Let's move along to some more news here, shall we? The University of Minnesota is thinking about changing the name of Nicholson Hall after some faculty raised concerns that Edward Nicholson's actions stoked anti-Semitism and political repression when he served as dean decades ago. A 48-page paper that was written by current and former directors of the U's Center for Jewish Studies, said Edward Nicholson's performance as the Dean of Student Affairs was distressingly interwoven during his tenure in the web of anti-Semitism and anti-democratic political repression in Minnesota and nationally. The U's Board of Regents has updated its policies in recent years to allow buildings to be renamed if the name is inconsistent with the U's mission, jeopardizes its integrity, or presents what they call risk or harm to the reputation of the U. Those policies grew out of a 2019 controversy when Regents faced an outcry from people who wanted them to rename four buildings, including Nicholson Hall, because their namesakes had been accused of backing segregation or engaging in other racist practices.
I have the answer. Every single building on campus should be numbered.
One.
Then two.
We're in seven.
Three.
Hey, where's the social
unless
studies?
The failed academicians find the numbers themselves to be racist because they were invented by white people. Every building should be just a number. No names of anybody.
Seven has a violent history. Because 7, 8, 9.
That's right.
Yeah.
But just put the numbers on the buildings. You have a class today in building 14. Okay. Thank
that's
you.
That's just terrible. It's like New York. Well, that's public school 156.
That's what it's going to have to be because these fools are not going to stop. You can find something wrong with everybody.
Is there any possible way, like in the case of Nicholson, can we just erase him from history altogether so he didn't even exist? Let's do that.
Or just,
let's just completely name it after erase
all of history. I don't accept that argument, Kenny. I'm sorry. That's not erasing somebody from history, taking a name off of a building.
Yeah,
that's...
but don't replace it with another name. Put numbers
How
on
about
the building.
Jack Nicholson.
No.
Jack Nicholson.
No, I want numbers. Can't have him. I just want numbers.
Okay.
We can't have him because, you know. You know, Jack's got a little spot.
You can find something wrong with everybody. So just have all the buildings on the campus and the whole statewide system go to the number system for the buildings.
Jesus Hall.
Nope.
You can't find fault with him.
Oh, somebody could.
Okay.
Yeah.
History is not there for you to like or dislike. It's there for you to learn from it.
We don't
and
do that anymore.
And if it offends you, even better, because then you are less likely to repeat it. It's not yours to erase. It belongs to everyone.
Are you reading that? Are you he's reading that.
I don't know. It's on my phone. I don't know who wrote it.
Do you know the one good thing about the movie Oppenheimer, which I thought was terribly boring, but there was one interesting fact, and that is you went to a place like Berkeley in 1945. Mm-hmm. The discipline of learning was taken very seriously. There was no failed academy in 1945. Okay. There was none of the BS you have to put up with today. The classrooms were, you wore a tie, it was strict, you had to learn stuff.
Nobody dyed their hair.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Yeah, but they were having communist meetings at the same time. So, you know.
Let me, if I may, of course, argue with you guys, as usual, take one step forward here. So do we think this 48-page thing written by Jewish instructors, et cetera, is based solely on what?
No, not at all. If Nicholson is an anti-Semite, get rid of his name. You're missing my point.
I apparently did because I thought you meant just leave it alone.
Well, just don't do anything. Just have numbers on the buildings. You're going to find something wrong with any name associated with a building at the U of M.
Well, I don't think you're going to find anti-Semites and racists associated with the name
How
of every building.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know, but
because they have people that don't do anything except spend their days trying to find something wrong with the people. And they're going to succeed. Plus, it's on stolen land to begin with.
Joe, these are fact-finding missions. What's wrong with you?
Then just number the buildings.
We can't have facts. That's
which is why
we can have.
Which is why I don't do research because you might find something bad.
You might find facts.
Yes,
like call Roseville High School.
Yes,
I'm on the Roseville High School website right now.
Yeah, a phone call would have been necessary.
Tough to do when.
That's all right. I mean, what'd you find? Nothing.
There is nothing on the school sanction calendar for the academic year. So I don't know if this had an affiliation with the high school or not.
Maybe it was a smudging ceremony. I was reading that in Shakopee, the students are building a smudging area outside the school. It's a Native American tradition for cleansing. You can go out and light sage on fire and things like that. Maybe they had a smudging.
Rook just had a smudging
situation.
The other day.
Yeah, that's a different situation though.
Why don't we have Patrick Royce join us?
I thought we were going to do this story so Chris could play a soundbite. I was going to wrap up with that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
President Biden delivering a defiant argument for a second term in his State of the Union speech last night, lacing into the GOP frontrunner Donald Trump for espousing what he called resentment, revenge, and retribution, and for jeopardizing freedom at home and abroad. Biden fired multiple broadsides without naming Trump, calling him only my predecessor 13 times. The tone from Biden was a sharp break from his often humdrum daily appearances. It was intended to banish doubts whether the 81-year-old is still up for the job. For 68 minutes in the House chamber, Biden goaded Republicans over their policies on immigration, taxes, and more. He also had some back and forth with Republicans who were sitting during the speech. Meanwhile, the Republican response was interesting. Katie Britt's Republican response to the State of the Union drew responses ranging from the baffled to satirical to the appalled, even from Republicans. One unnamed Trump advisor said, "What the hell am I watching right now and seeing it?" Another unnamed Republican strategist told the Daily Beast, "One of our biggest disasters ever." It tried to highlight what the Republicans see as the problems with the administration, as some Republicans tweeted, though the message may have been lost, in what they called a high school level dramatic reading of that speech.
Former President Trump had some thoughts.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created. All the while, they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country. Joe Biden's sad excuse for a State of the Union address aside, here are the facts. When I left office, we gave Joe Biden the most secure border in U.S. history. We gave him Remain in Mexico, very tough to get, but I got it. Safe Third Agreements, the asylum ban, Title 42, 571 miles of border wall, rapid deportations, and much more. We had the safest border in the history of our country. As soon as he got in, Crooked Joe and his radical left lunatics deliberately dismantled each and every one of those policies that were so good that gave us this best border. According to Tom Homan, according to Brandon Judd, the top people, they said it was the single best border we've ever had in recorded history. What's happened now is a horror show. The country, our country, is being laughed at all over the world. Over the past 3 years, Biden has actively aided and abetted the importation of millions and millions of illegal alien migrants and resettled them into your communities. At any time during the past 3 years,
you know what? I just realized I can't stand him. I'd rather hear him do his stupid talk when he says dumb stuff than have him read a script.
Did he say anything that's wrong?
No, why don't you get Hub, Royce?
Fish eaters just tied it up. An empty net. Right.
Do your ad.
You want me to do that now?
Please.
You're all fired. Every one of you.
I was thinking
about coming in by myself, mother.
I was thinking about Croatia. I was off to a distant land, and that Croatian trip is on. I've been telling you about Escape With Us Vacations and that Croatian cruise that's coming up this summer. Maybe you wanted to go, but you didn't know where you'd be this summer. Maybe you got a bigger tax return than you thought you would. Maybe you have money sitting in your 401k that's doing absolutely nothing, and what are you going to do with it? Why don't you do something fun? Take a little loan out. Take a couple thousand out, whatever the case may be, and do something fun with your 401k money. Yes, it's just going to sit there, right? Well, experience Croatia. 7 nights on the Adriatic Queen, sailing side by side with the king. Breakfast, lunch, and a new Croatian town every day with plenty of swim stops. You're going to have the time of your life. I am so excited to be on this trip. Escape With Us Vacations has just a few cabins left on this bucket list yacht adventure. A private yacht, two of them. Call Maria or Teresa today at 651-788-4338. Yes, there are a few cabins left, and I want this baby to sell out. Huge thank you to the GLers that have reached out to Escape With Us Vacations for all of their travel needs, including the mayor. Maria and Teresa have said you're the best customers to work for. By far. Go to their website, escapewithusvacations.com. That's escapewithusvacations.com.
North American Banking Company has been a proud supporter of the Garage Logic podcast and Johnny Heights News for some time, and I made the switch from my big national bank to North American Banking Company. You see, when they first opened back in 1998, they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers, where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, that has not. And if you're a business owner, think about North American Banking Company. They're locally owned and operated. Here's why that's a big deal. That means that loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They don't send these out of state. So this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. North American Banking Company deals with numbers every single day, but you are never one of them. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank. 6 locations to serve you. Mine's in Roseville, but you can also see them at 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. Check them out online today. It's banking done differently. North American Banking Company, member FDIC, is an equal housing lender.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes.
Pat?
Yes. Does the mayor have a cold? I just heard your voice there. It sounds
a little
like
bit.
A little bit of a cold.
Say, Anthony Edwards has managed to do something that I never thought possible.
That was quite a finish last night, and that was when you look at that block, it's even more astounding when you look at it the next time.
He's made me a fan. I have to. He's must viewing. He's like Wayne Gretzky.
You know what he is? I looked it up in the dictionary to make sure I was right. He's mercurial.
Yes, he is.
He can change at a moment's notice, change your mind and himself at a moment's notice. And last night, the last 5 or 6 minutes was the best I have ever seen him play.
Pat, he was 10 feet off the ground, and it could have gone higher, but his head hit the bottom of the backboard.
Yes, and I think the officials were so astounded, they don't know if he committed a foul or goaltending or anything, because I don't think he did when you look at it. It looked pretty clean. But the NBA doesn't want you to nullify a play like that. They want to show that. That one will be on the highlights of the NBA for the next 5 years.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know that in 1954, I think the teams were Milwaukee and Minneapolis.
Yes.
The NBA experimented one game, apparently, with a 12-foot high rim.
Yes, they did. They were thinking about it. But they don't want to take that away. They want guys to go up there and perform acrobatics. Or, you know, do you want to go back to guys just landing in the basket?
No. Is Carl Anthony Towns done for the season? I can't believe he wouldn't be.
Well, no, it's a meniscus, so it's not. They come back some. Jimmy Butler had one of those and came back about a month later in his best season here.
Yeah.
And he might be a little tougher than Cat, but 4 to 6 weeks, they say, recovery.
Okay.
So when I had my meniscus repaired in 1962.
Yeah.
I played basketball 6 months later at not at very high altitudes, though. It was.
Can I tell you something? You just said 6 months later.
No, 6 weeks later.
Oh, six weeks? Okay, later. Yeah.
But both sneakers on the floor at all times, so it wasn't, I wasn't putting a lot of stress on that knee.
And unlike Kat, your dedication to defense in those after that six-week return was marvelous, I might add.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. We were very feisty. we were tremendously feisty. We were terrible.
What time does superstar Caitlin play today?
She plays at 5:30. I'm at the arena. I just got here. I got to tell you this.
Okay.
There are I-1s upstairs in that hallway that you take, the back hallway that you take to get in.
Yeah.
There's 500 or 600 of them there now because general admission, because the upper deck is general admission, so you get the best seats you can. But then, even down in the hallway with reserved seats, there's another 200 or 300 Iowans there already waiting. I don't know why, but they are the ones who already have reserved seats, unless they were. They're not getting into the, I think it's two different sections, so they're not getting into the afternoon section, so they won't get in the arena until 5 o'clock.
Now she's expected to beat Penn State, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but Penn State's playing really good lately. They just edged our Gophers 90-34.
Yeah. Ooh.
That was a bit of a thumping.
And the Gopher men are pretty much done.
No, yes, we got the tournament next week.
No, I know, but they're not going to do well in it. They don't.
They would have to. They are now putting themselves in a predicament where they basically would have to win it,
right,
to make the NCAA tournament, and there's not much chance of that. But the women's team, their tournament run ended yesterday. They beat a terrible Purdue team or somebody. And then they lost last night, so it's open.
But Cathedral just won in overtime.
What?
Duluth Cathedral beat War Road in overtime.
St. Cloud Cathedral.
St. Cloud Cathedral.
Whatever, some
Saint
church.
my bracket is not perfect.
That's a good story, by the way. St. Cloud's hockey players are down to such low numbers because of the demographics up there that the Apollo and Tech have one team, the two high schools up
wow.
there.
Wow.
And yet Cathedral, Emmett Keenan is a friend of mine. He's the AD there, and I'm not sure where they're getting their hockey players from, but that's a noble victory. I'm going to go see him tomorrow at noon.
Yeah.
And I was sick of writing the ode to War Road, so I approve of this.
They'll be playing the winner of Matamidi and Hermantown for the mm-hmm. title.
By the way, Joe, you grew up on the shores of White Bear Lake.
Yes, sir.
Did you not? You didn't attend White Bear Lake, but you were. It certainly had an infinity for it. Affinity, not infinity. Did you see what White Bear Lake's record is in the first round of the tournament?
Not very good.
No wins and 20 losses. They wow. have been there 20 times
wow.
and never won a game in the right? championship round.
I didn't realize that.
That is a feat.
Well, my Matamidi Zephyrs have far exceeded that record.
Oh, God, yes.
They're
already.
Doing well.
But I think, didn't White Bear lose with 1.5 seconds to go last night?
Yes.
Somebody scored at the buzzer to beat him. The poor devil. Grand Rapids scored at the buzzer
right.
to beat him. So, anyway.
That's a fun time of year. It's a fun time of year.
Yes. Now, the A still has the problem of blowouts in the first
right.
round. So. But they did have a couple of decent games yesterday.
Now, too. As the fellow who discovered for the country, Caitlin Clark, is that the game you're going to cover?
Yes, I'm going to write that. Although, Maryland, with our former coach Brenda Freeze, is 15 points ahead of number one seeded in this tournament, Ohio State, and I think number two or three in the country. Brenda's going to knock him off in the quarterfinals here with Maryland. She left for Maryland. She's won a national championship there, but this was one of her worst teams, but she's about to knock off Ohio State.
When is the women's championship game?
In the Big Ten?
Yes.
That's Sunday. That's Sunday.
Sunday. All right.
But they've sold out. They sold out the entire tournament because even though Caitlin wasn't going to play Wednesday or Thursday, they wanted to. If you got the whole strip of tickets, then you were guaranteed to get tickets for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when she'd be playing.
I see. All right.
It is quite the phenomenon, to say the least.
All right.
It'd be a disaster if she gets beat by Penn State today.
Wouldn't it be? Wow.
A lot of Iowegians would be checking out of their hotels, man. So
I'll talk to you Monday.
All righty.
All right. Thank you.
See ya, Pat.
Yep.
Welterheating.com.
So how do you know that?
Because
you've been paying
twice.
Attention
That's
to
right.
welterheating.com. I've been talking to you about Welter and the Welter family and the 120 years. And you know what Rick Welter says? He says, give him the phone number, give him the website, tell him that we got 120 years and four generations, and then do whatever you want. Go ahead and promote Second Stork if you want to. I'll take him up on that. Right now, Second Stork is a wonderful charity, and you can donate your money. You can donate your time. It's Second Stork. Just Google Second Stork, and you can learn some volunteer opportunities. If you're going somewhere, maybe up north, we need deliveries to hospitals. We'll fill up your trunk with bags, and you can drop them right off there. Go to secondstork.org. The Welter family, again, four generations, is very charitable, and they promote Second Stork, and they let me do it, and I really appreciate that. So if you want to donate money, time, talent, treasure, whatever the case may be, go to secondstork.org. Now the phone number for Welter, 612-825-6867. Don't leave to chance anything on your furnace, on your AC unit, or your air purification systems. Thank you to the Welter family, and you can check them out at welterheating.com.
It's Reavers here once again for my friends at Hofferman Water and Kinetico. If you're in the market for a new water treatment system, I can't recommend them highly enough. I've had two systems installed at my both at my previous location and now at my current home. It's made an amazing difference in the quality of my water, and I know it will be for you as well. They offer sales, service, and rental options. Maybe you're looking for something short-term. Four Kinetico water treatment systems that includes water softeners, iron, rust, and odor filtration systems, and drinking water systems. A new system from Kinetico can do so many things that other water softeners just simply cannot do. It's going to cut down on your salt usage. Yeah, you already know that. But it's also going to protect your appliances. Bad water can affect almost every aspect of your home. And once you get that new system from Kinetico and Hofferman, your showers are better. So is your laundry and, of course, your drinking water. So get on the schedule today and have them come out for that free water analysis. 612-895-2440. 612-895-2440. Or just visit their website, HoffermanWater.com. Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Please tell them that you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Finally, thank God today is Friday. Scramble!
Couple more days remaining for the President's Day sale at Maple Grove Lock and Safe on the Liberty Safes. $380, we can save up to that amount on the Liberty USA 48 and 50 models. Now, both of these models feature level 3 security. That's 60 minutes of fire protection at about 1,200 degrees. And the sale, thankfully for us, also includes a free power accessory kit bundle. You can see all of this on the website, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com. And you know, the combination, we've been saying it here for a couple of years now, the combination of Liberty Safes and then Rich at Maple Grove Lock and Safe, that means you're going to go home a happy customer knowing you got the best safe for your situation and for your pocketbook. Rich, the owner, he knows what's up. He's going to work with us. He knows that we need to be happy for him to be happy. He's graciously also offered all GLers some pretty good deals that others might not know about. So make sure you tell them when you walk in that you heard it on GL. And that includes 15% off all quick combination and key vaults, a tiny little vaults that you can throw your revolver or semi-automatic handgun in and keep it safe from prying fingers. Check out this President's Day sale at Maple Grove Lock and Safe. He's at 6901 East Fish Lake Road. And like I said, the website, easy to remember, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
During the news, we had the story, late breaking it turns out, of a big fight at Roseville High School last night. And it was either because of or resulted in response to a cultural event that we did not know what that event was. We now do, John.
Yeah, it was the Black Student Union's annual talent show. Features dance, spoken word, and other performances. And the kerfuffle, as you called it, apparently started outdoors afterward. And according to police, it was outside agitators who came in and started causing it. Chris has more.
And a loyal GLer who wishes to remain nameless, you guys all know who this is, he said, "Hey, Reeves, I can't find the direct email from the school, but here were the list of the cultural events last night. As John mentioned, the Black Student Union talent show, and there was also an Asian culture show that were taking place. There was also I'm aware of a softball meeting that was taking place inside of the school, and it was being disrupted constantly. So the youth that were fighting, it appears, were Asian and Black students.
So we don't automatically assume that a bunch of white kids came over to fire things up.
Well, there were videos that surfaced online, and how should I phrase this? The way that we describe these two shows, that looked like the type of students that, and outside, because as John mentioned, some of these people involved in this fight were not students of Roseville.
Okay, here's what I'd do if I ran a high school. I just have one big talent show.
Talent show. Two words. Let's go.
And I don't care if you're black or red or blue or yellow. Your act makes the cut. You're in.
Right.
Oh, you'd hurt some feelings.
Yeah.
You know, that's too bad. You can't sing worth a bleep, Ahmad. But, right. You're gone.
This isn't a black student talent show a direct out of the DEI playbook?
Sure. What I'm saying is, if I ran the high school, we're having a talent show. I don't care who you are. Come on in and play. Let's go here.
Let's go here. You know, see some bad comedians, you know, trying it out.
In high school.
Right.
So I was the MC of the talent show.
Were you?
I was a rookie-esque, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So you're saying in my waxed up hair and my painted shoes,
that's
I could make an offer
absolutely.
That you can't refuse?
Take you to the talent show.
Yeah, come on down.
That's what I do.
See?
But I'm just a simple person.
Yeah, you're a caveman.
You know who might be worth reaching out to?
Motsy.
Coffee.
Coffee Motsy.
Although I know in cases like this, she's sometimes reluctant to do so. But it might be worth reaching out.
Now, what happens when the Norwegians get up there? Do the Swedes come rolling in? And they all just kind of stand around shuffling, looking at their feet, saying mildly insulting things to each other.
Right. You don't have a problem if you just have a talent show.
Exactly.
And you're aware, as you put it together, you're aware of different groups of kids that have different talents. And you'd be careful to make sure they're all represented. But let's say you're a Somali group of students.
Okay.
And you have some particular music you would wish to perform or whatever.
Or dance.
Well, it better be damn good.
Right.
So the talent show would only feature the best.
Right. The plate spinners, you know.
Well, that's in 1960.
We ain't much to look at. So close your eyes.
Here we go.
We're playing at the talent show.
And that's the I would start the high school talent show with that song.
Okay.
You know. Only.
I wonder what I would do. What would my act be?
I don't know, but see, you'd be fighting me to be the host.
Yeah, I want to host.
I think you'd be interrupting. That would be your talent.
It is a talent, too. It is a talent. You don't just blurt. It's a talent to get in there. So when you get in there, you know to do it. Exactly like that. Case in point. All right, Hold on.
A minute. Yeah. Renewal by Anderson brings you only because.
Well, I'm not interrupting.
Only because they come to us all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
From the Traveling Lymans.
Let's go.
Worldwide Waftage. .com.
What do you got?
On this day.
March 8th, 3824.
1858. Douglas County was formed.
Happy birthday, Kenny.
Yeah.
Go to hell. We don't want you out here.
The name honored Stephen A. Douglas of Illinois, who advocated for Minnesota's statehood.
Dakota,
Dodge, and Douglas are your 3D counties.
Okay.
On this day,
3-8.
I remember this from past only because it's
probably last year.
On this day in 1892, a snowstorm covered Duluth on this day and the next. Many people had to exit their houses through second-story windows.
Wow.
Oof. That's something.
Festive, but that's too much.
That's a lot of snow, isn't it, Matt?
It's almost like out in California.
That's up in the Sierras.
Yeah.
On this day.
March 8th?
3-8?
In 1920, the U.S. Supreme Court settled a boundary squabble between Minnesota and Wisconsin over control of the Duluth Harbor, finding in Minnesota's favor.
All right. Kick ass.
Finding
take that, Wisconsin. Biatch.
How many cars do you think were in Duluth in 1920? I bet there were quite a few. Quite a few.
Oh, navigating those hills, though.
1920 was almost, a pot in every chicken. And, a chicken in every pot.
It's tough to get those pots in there, too.
And a car in every
even the chicken
likes it, Bill.
Right, yeah.
Chicken in every pot, that's what I meant to say.
Yep.
Thank you, GL.
I have a
6 o'clock meeting, by the way.
Yeah. Email from Todd. Hey, Joe.
That's me.
Have you heard the one about Governor Walz deciding to return the tax surplus to the taxpayers?
No.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, me either.
Hey now.
Whoa. Just as an adjunct to the Roseville story.
Yes, sir.
I just went through their clubs.
Yes.
There are at least 7 culture clubs involving different
ethnicities.
Ethnicities, thank you.
Okay.
At that high school.
What about the Italians? Do they have a linguine club?
They're an Irish.
Pasta club.
There's Latino. There's Vietnamese. There's Nepali, which I'm assuming is the Indian of culture.
Day drinking club. That would be the Italians, right?
Kanyao. Canal.
Maybe Chinese.
El Pueblo, the Black Student Union, and Asian Culture.
Is there a car club listed?
There is, there's a lot of clubs. There's a chess, there's volleyball. I don't see a car club. Yeah.
What about a trap league? Is there a shooting league?
Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
In the mid-60s, the high school parking lots were car shows.
Yeah. And nothing about Culture Club.
Not really at all.
No Ultimate Frisbee either, I bet.
We still got debate,
regular
though.
Frisbee.
Oh, wait. Clay Target. Who asked about that?
Kenny did.
Yep. They have a Clay Target club.
All right. Do they have any sports teams?
Yeah.
Well, they've been unheard of lately. Here. Roseville used to field good hockey teams.
Yeah.
Well, was it Ramsey High School?
Ramsey and Kellogg, I think, combined.
Is it now called Roseville High School?
Roseville Area High School.
What happened to Ramsey?
Merged with Kellogg.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
If you show's over, stop talking.
Can't get enough of Garage Logic? Join the thousands of GLers.
Oh, you can get enough.
Found us on YouTube. Just search for Garage Logic Podcast and subscribe for daily content, including behind-the-scenes content, full segments, video shorts, the mayor yelling at us in about 5 minutes. That's Garage Logic Podcast right there on YouTube. You can't miss it. Weekend, Cha. Paula Freecha.
Kenny, I found.